Welcome to American Mosaic from VOA Learning English. I'm June Sims. Today on the show, we listen to some protest music of the past. But first, we tell about a new play in New York that explores the effects of an all-too-common tragedy in America. Americans recently dealt again with school violence. In April, a student in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, took knives to school and stabbed 21 people. There have also been several school shootings in the United States in 2014. New York theatergoers now have a chance to explore the emotion surrounding such events. Christopher Cruz reports.
The Library is a new play at New York's Public Theater. It tells about what happens after a school shooting. It examines the broken lives of survivors. The play is directed by Oscar winner Steven Soderbergh. Scott Z. Burns is the playwright. Even before the play begins, Soderbergh and Burns create unease among theatergoers. As they enter, they see a young woman in a hospital gown in the middle of the stage. She is lying on what could be a bed or a table. She could be in the hospital or in a morgue, where dead bodies are kept for examination. Playwright Burns explains.
People start having to invent a story, you know, which is she alive? Is she not alive?
The young woman on the stage is playing a teenage character named Caitlin Gabriel. She has survived a deadly shooting attack at her high school. One of the other survivors has accused Caitlin on television of telling the gunman where several victims were hiding. 17-year-old film actress Chloe Grace Moretz plays Caitlin.
And so Caitlin Gabriel wakes up out of her induced coma, basically, and she finds out right then and there that not only is her best friend that she was laying beside dead, but that she is now being accused of being an accomplice to the murder of 6 children and 1 faculty member.
As the characters attempt to learn the truth, each of them, children and parents, try to control what is reported about the attack. Director Steven Soderbergh has seen that happen after real school attacks.
We were fascinated by not only the idea of competing stories that have to do battle, but also another story or another myth that often comes out of events like these is that somehow everyone who goes through a tragedy is somehow ennobled by it.
It was the story of one survivor of the 1999 shooting at Columbine High School in Colorado that led Scott Z. Burns to write the play. 2 Columbine students killed 12 of their classmates and a teacher. Burns says shortly after the attack, misinformation about victims and survivors began to spread.
And so when stories get out, you know, especially now when we have a lot of unfiltered media that finds its way into our eyes and ears very quickly after these things, it's hard to get it back.
The gunman is not central to the Library. The character that could be considered oppositional is the mother of one of the victims. She deals with her loss by writing a book and advising on a film. Both works show her daughter as a hero. The book and movie also accuse Caitlin of leading the gunman to other victims. As new information is communicated about the characters and events, director Steven Soderbergh says audience members begin to question their own beliefs.
two, one, two, three, four.
This week marked the 39th anniversary of the end of the Vietnam War. On April 30th, 1975, United States Marines removed the last Americans from the U.S. Embassy in Saigon. It brought to a close America's most divisive foreign conflict. This anger and distrust was expressed in protests and songs. Bob Doty has more.
The Vietnam War took place at an unusual time in American history. A record number of Americans gave birth from 1946 to 1959. The largest part of that so-called baby boom came to fighting age when the war began. The baby boomers had also created a youth culture that had fully developed by that time. That culture was based largely on music. When public opinion turned against the war, so did popular songs.
War! Good God, y'all!
What is it good for?
Absolutely!
Nothing!
Say it again!
War!
America's involvement in the war began slowly. There were only 5,000 soldiers in the East Asian country in 1960. But the protest movement in music was already beginning.
Oh, my buddy's dying. So much pain and woe. Oh, God, please bring this awful war to a close.
U.S. military was not all volunteer then as it is now. In 1962, the government established the Selective Service, usually called the draft. The number of American armed service members in Vietnam rose sharply. Leslie Waffen is the retired head of the Motion Picture, Sound, and Video Department at the National Archives. He is also an expert on the music of the Vietnam War.
When you registered for the Selective Service System, you were assigned a draft number, and if your number came up, then you were in the Army.
And when it came my time to serve, I knew better dead than red. But when I got to my old draft board, buddy, this is what I said. Sarge, I'm only 18, I got a ruptured spleen, and I always carry a purse. I've got eyes like a bat and my feet are flat and my asthma's getting worse. Yes, think of my career, my sweetheart dear, my poor old invalid aunt. Besides, I ain't no fool, I'm a-going to school and I'm a-working in a defense plant. I got a dislocated disc and a racked up back. I'm allergic to flowers and bugs. And when the bombshell hits, I get epileptic fits and I'm addicted to 1,000 drugs. I got the weakness.
That song is Draft Dodger Rag. A draft dodger is someone who flees or refuses the order to join the military. Draft Dodger Rag was a very important, influential song. It was recorded by many folk singers and groups. And the lyrics were filled with ways to dodge the draft. Another draft-dodging song came from David Crosby. Draft Morning is mainly about the unfairness of the draft. Mr. Waffen says, The Creedence Clearwater song, Fortunate Son, is also about unfairness. Talks about wealthier young Americans who did not have to take part in the war. One way a man could avoid the draft was by going to college. The U.S. president and the American generals in Vietnam told Americans that the U.S. was winning the war. But in January 1968, North Vietnamese soldiers attacked positions deep inside South Vietnam. The targets included the U.S. Embassy. The offensive was crushed quickly, but still, Americans started to question what their government was reporting about the war.
Way down yonder in Vietnam, put down your books and pick up a gun. We're gonna have a whole lot of fun. And it's 1, 2, 3. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. The next stop is Vietnam, and it's 5, 6, 7. Open up the pearly gates. Well, there ain't no time to wonder why. We're all gonna die. Now come on, Wall Street, don't be slow. Why, man, this is war, a go-go. There's plenty good money to be made, supplying the army with the tools of the trade. Just hope and pray that if they drop the bomb, they drop it on a Viet Cong. And it's 1, 2, 3. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. The next stop is Vietnam. And it's 5, 6, 7.
Fixin to Die Rag was performed by Country Joe and the Fish at the three-day music festival called Woodstock in New York State in 1969. Les Waffen says the song was powerful.
It became extremely popular as a song that said everything about the public's antagonism against the war, and it sort of reflected what public opinion was all about.
More importantly, Waffen says the song became popular among U.S. soldiers fighting in Vietnam.
There would be DJs in certain zones who would set up their own radio station and begin to broadcast the songs that you were not going to hear on Armed Forces Radio.
Naturally, there were some songs that supported the war. In 1965 and 1966, The Ballad of the Green Berets was a number one song in America.
From the Green Berets, silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best.
Some songs that celebrated soldiers also criticized men who found ways not to fight, like Bob Seger's The Yellow Beret.
Fearless cowards of the USA, bravely here, at home they stay, they watch their bread.
America is a place of differing opinions. It is also a place where people can express those opinions, even if they go against the government, even when the country is at war.
2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
June Sims. Join us again next week for American Mosaic from VOA Learning English.